This Week in Delaware County, I'm Steve Lindell. My guest is Al Rent, former host of one of our morning shows for Woof Boom Radio.
All right, he is the one, the only, and the ever-present in City of Muncie and beyond, Jay Allen Rent. Hello, fine sir.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve. The Jay Allen honors me so much. Yes.
I want to start there. First of all, okay. In many levels of this conversation, I wanted to congratulate you on behalf of all of us and everyone
thank
that
you.
Could
thank
not
you.
Be there, the Legacy Award from the Muncie, Delaware County Chamber of Commerce. And then the other, it was a surprise to me.
Surprise to me.
Sagamore of the Wabash,
yeah.
And we'll get to that in a little bit.
They give you a headdress and everything. Yeah, moccasins.
That's unbelievable. But what I wanted to touch on first was your brother Andy, who emceed the event, was stuck on the Jay Allen Rent.
Yeah, I know.
Is there some sort of a family story there that I need to be aware of?
Well, no, not really. I guess the family story is that we were a big surprise. We're twins. Andy is 5 minutes older than I am. But in our day, when we were born, 1943,
okay.
Steve.
All right, I got you.
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah.
They had no idea my mother had twins.
Oh.
She just had gained well over 50 pounds. They said it's going to be a big baby. They didn't know the sex of the baby. I mean, they didn't have the technology
right.
that they have today. So when Andy was born, my father, a former football player at Ball State University, and
I did not know that.
Yeah, and an accountant at Ball Brothers in those days,
all right.
Was ecstatic. He had a boy. He had a football player.
All right.
You know, and
yeah.
about, I'm told, as the story goes, 20 yeah. minutes later, another nurse comes out and says, Mr. Rent, you have a son. And he said, I know. And he goes, no, you don't know. There's two of them. So there's twins. So whatever name they had picked out for us, we don't know exactly what it was.
Okay.
It was a boy's name and a girl's name, whichever the sex of the child was going to be.
Okay.
So that went by the wayside.
Uh-huh.
So it ended up being David Andrew Rent and James Allen. But as we're told, our parents decided that Jim and Dave was not fun or sexy enough.
Okay.
Or cute.
Okay.
And so we'd go by our middle names. Alan and Andrew, Andy and Al, but when you put the J in front,
yes.
So people would call me Jim or James, you know? So I changed it, probably 25, 30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe longer than that.
Okay.
To J, initial J, J Allen. So people would get to the Allen. And then people start calling me Jay. And I'd say, it's an initial.
See, I knew there was a story.
I know. There you go. So that's why. And that's why Andy picked on it.
For our listeners, you may or may not know, Al Rent is a Muncie, Indiana native, a graduate of Ball State University. As you would imagine, his degree is in speech and mass communications, though I think your degree is in life, personally. He is currently the executive director and general manager of public broadcasting for Ball State University. Al has had long and distinguished career in communications, including director of relationship, marketing, and community relations, which is one of the longest titles of all time.
Yes, tell me about it.
And director,
try to fit that on a business card. It was on both sides.
I bet. And director of marketing for Ball State. In addition, Al has served as vice president and co-owner of these radio stations we're talking on, at least a couple of them. We've grown since then, Al.
Yeah, I know.
The president of Jay Allen Rent Advertising.
There it goes.
Yeah. Director of public relations for Marsh Supermarkets. I did not know that until the Legacy
Awards.
Well,
there's a story behind that, but I won't go into it.
Oh, well, you're going to. We have time here.
All right.
And for better or for worse, he's partially responsible for hiring me.
I know.
You brought me here,
How
Al.
Many,
it's your fault.
That's
23 years.
23 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
23 years ago.
I could
ago,
not have told you.
This past March.
Wow.
I was sitting at Pizza King not far from Worthen Arena.
On Bethel.
On Bethel,
yeah.
Exactly. You weren't at that meeting.
No.
That was then Jeff Weller,
yep.
Maury Mannies,
yep.
and myself.
Okay.
And your first meal in Muncie, if you're coming for a job interview, it needs to be Pizza King, right? I think it's in the city doctrine.
Oh, absolutely.
the very next day was here in this building when I met you for the first time.
Yeah.
And that was secondary level of the gauntlet of interviews that I was going through.
Is this guy, because I think you came from Little Rock, didn't
Little
you?
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was your job. I mean, you know, you're Minnesota.
Minnesota.
But you'd been at Little Rock, and we were looking for somebody to do morning drive.
And they couldn't find anybody, so
right,
they got
so
me.
So we went down. Third place is not bad.
You are so funny. Now, the Legacy Award, is it now the last, a final award that you haven't won so far? Or because you've basically won everything else.
Well,
now.
I don't know. I don't know.
You're not in it for the awards, though,
you
are
know,
you?
You know, I always say, if you live long enough, sooner or later, someone's going to give you a plaque. And why is anybody in it for the awards?
Well, some people are.
I assume so.
Some people are. Some people they campaign for awards, and that, you know, I don't fault people for that.
No.
I just don't think that's the way to be.
If you approach life and your work and your community volunteerism, hoping that someone will recognize you for all your great work, you'll never get anything accomplished, and that's a sad state of affairs. So. People need help. As my wife says, I only know a three-letter word, and that is yes. And I do not know the two-letter word, which is no. So if someone needs help, and I have the time and the expertise or knowledge that I can actually help, I've always been willing to help. So, you know, you do what you need to do to make sure that Muncie's home. I've lived here all my life. Met Linda at Ball State. We got married. We've been married 51 years. We have two great kids and four great granddaughters.
You like being a grandpa, too,
I
don't
do.
You?
It's great.
You're good at
because
it.
Because you have all the fun and none of the responsibility. Life is good,
because they
Steve.
Have to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, see you later.
Right.
Drive careful.
So great having you here.
Tell me the Marsh story. What's the Marsh story when you worked for Marsh?
Well, my first job was at Ball State. I was coordinator of radio and television news, and I was really hired right out of school in 1967 to rewrite press releases that were going to the newspapers to make them news releases, which go to radio and television stations.
Okay.
So to make them readable. Mm-hmm. So you could, and so if you got one of my press releases in those days, it was instead of stilted and printed language, it was the spoken language, much better.
Understood.
So anyway, I saw the ad in the newspaper that Marsh Supermars was looking for her director of PR. Well, I'd been out of school 2 years. Why wasn't I qualified?
Sure. It makes sense to me.
So I'll shorten the story by saying that I filled out an application. They called me up. I went in for an interview. I was told that I was not qualified for the job.
Nice.
But I would not stop. I said, okay, what do I need to do to be qualified? Well, you need to get more experience, you know, so more years. And so I went back and heavied up my resume again and actually put more examples of my work and sent it back in again. I get another call. Come in for another interview, and then all of a sudden, I'm interviewing with the president, Don Marsh.
Oh, just Don Marsh.
Right. Yeah. And as I tell students today at the university, if you choose to give up, you only lose what you choose to give up. So why would I have given up until they finally said, we've hired somebody else, but thank you very much? Well, they hadn't. So I was pushing hard. I really talked myself into a job.
Good for
and
you.
So I did that for 5 years.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Al Rent, the latest recipient of the Muncie Delaware County Chamber of Commerce Legacy Award, that same night you were presented, as I said earlier, the Sagamore of the Wabash. Now, you're kind of in good company. I'm sure you're aware of some of these previious winners. Ryan White
yes.
in 1987. Ari Leyendyke, the driver, in 1999. Jeff Gordon has also won.
Yeah, we're close.
Donald Davidson. Don't be a smart aleck. From the track, 2016, he won. And then some guy named David Letterman in 2007. Now, just correct me if I'm wrong. Al, did you
wait. I know where you're going.
Did you not fire David Letterman? Was that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I hired him and fired him.
Did you fire David?
Well, yes.
So your answer is yes, you fired David Letterman.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, I did.
So here's what I think. I think someone needs to call the now governor, Mike Pence, who officially is the one that would, you know, the sitting governor would present you with the Sagamore and the Wabash and decide that should happen. And tell him that I believe this is an accurate statement. J. Allen Rent is the only Sagamore of the Wabash winner to have previously fired another Indiana Sagamore of the Wabash winner. And I will go so far as to say that record may stand forever.
It probably will.
I'm Steve Lindell with J. Allen Rent, guest in a segment that'll happen over the next few weeks here on This Week in Delaware County, as we salute the great things that Al has always done. The Sagamore of the Wabash mean to you, Al?
Well, it was a huge surprise. I mean, to win the Legacy Award, that's a huge community honor. One person is awarded that each year. I'm the sixth to have received that. It will continue. There'll be somebody else next year, and on and on. It's for a kind of a body of work within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Sagamore is handed out to someone within the state of Indiana, so it broadens the scope of the power of that award.
Mm-hmm.
It never crossed my mind that was a remote – it was purely a remote possibility, and it's so remote that it never crossed my mind.
Hmm.
Why would I be thinking about that? What it means to me is that I was deeply, deeply honored – almost speechless, and Steve, you know, between you and me,
rare, that
doesn't happen. Radio guys are not speechless. I was settling in my brain, what in the world do I say when I go up and accept the award? It was one of the highest honors. It's looking really great in my home right now, as it's hanging in my den, or as Linda calls it, the Al Rent Shrine.
Is that where your Person of the Year in 2010 Star Press Award? Is that one in that room to the shrine?
That's there.
Yeah, the first ever Al Rent Spirit of Muncie Award. Is that one in there too?
That's there.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah. I was fortunate to win that one.
Yes, you were, and richly deserved.
Well. Mark DeFabio won it also.
Yes.
And that means that two people on this radio air staff, where you used to work and or own, are also winners of that award.
Well, DeFabio, they've been thought about reclaiming that award. But
a recall?
I'm sorry. No. Mark, you know, for all of his strange and unusual side and humorous side.
Yes.
He is a tireless community worker, tireless, as you are. And that's what it takes to make a community great. You know, we may hear we're going to make America great again in the political arena today. But to make Muncie great and continue to make it great, it takes people like the Mark DeFabios and the Steve Lindells who really care enough to give all their all to make it work.
This interview is about Al Rent.
Excuse
so
me,
let me.
Did you hear that chair?
You're very kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. The previous owners would have done something about that, I think. Oh, dear.
Jay Chapman, I did not say that.
Have we got some WD-40 around here?
I did not know that you were involved in the founding time of IPR and WIPB television. I didn't know. What was your part in that, and what had to be done to get those two individual efforts going way back when?
Well, Indiana Public Radio began just as a 10-watt FM radio station at Ball State, and it went on the air literally in 1959, but went off the air, moved to a new place on campus, more permanent. It was in an old World War II barracks that were temporary structures on campus in those days. And when it went back on the air in 1962, there were a group of about six or eight students. I was one who signed the station back on. We literally, Steve, physically carried the transmitter from the basement of this building up three flights of stairs because it was really no bigger than a bread box. And plugged it in. And the engineers made sure everything was working. And the first day on the air, John Emmons was the president of the university.
Like Emmons Auditorium.
John Emmons was the first voice on the air was the head of the department, Bill Tomlinson, then introduced President Emmons, and then introduced me.
I was the third person on the air.
So, you know, you think back, somebody's got to start something somewhere.
Right.
And I happened to be at the right place at the right time. So we literally put WBST, mm-hmm. a flamethrower of a radio signal, 10 watts.
10 watts of 10 power. Watts,
yes. You had to be south of McGalliard
in order to get a crack of
Jackson to hear it. You know, it was about that big. So, yes, that's what happened. And then it evolved into Indiana Public Radio, which is a conglomeration of not only WBST, which we call the mothership, mm-hmm. but four other radio frequencies or repeaters mm-hmm. that are in various portions of the state that take public radio, classical music, news, and information into areas that cannot get it. Mm-hmm. And so it works out very well. That's IPR. WIPB was WLBC Television, Channel 49. Mm-hmm. It signed off as WLBC TV in 1971. And five of us signed the original papers of incorporation, and I was one of them. So we then transferred the license to Ball State University, and hence WIPB Channel 49 is public television, not commercial television, mm-hmm. and has been on the air since 71. And luckily,
yeah.
right place, right time.
Other than your present job
yes.
at Ball State,
mm-hmm.
what would you pick as your favorite job of all the jobs and different derivations of jobs that you've had through the years? Got to pick one.
Oh, gosh.
You can't pick your current one. See, I took that off the table so that anybody you go back to the office to,
they can't
say, why did you say this place? You can't say that.
No, you know, I started a PR agency. I started an ad agency. I talked my way into a lot of different jobs. And in fact, the one thing you never, ever wanted to say to me was, you know, you really can't do that.
Because then you'll just figure it out.
Well, we'll figure it out. So I started an ad agency, kind of an ad and public relations agency in 1980. I had a ball, absolute ball. But there was a period of time where in 1987, when four of us bought this radio station, that I was running the ad agency, a vice president, and doing morning drive and part of the management of this radio station. And then in 1993, went to work for Ball State in public relations. So I had three jobs simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
That was the period of time where I had the most fun. I lost the most sleep, and I took the most antibiotics.
Next week at the same time, our plan is to air the third and final portion of the interview with more thoughts, recollections, stories, and that very famous laugh of J. Allen Rent. Good morning. Welcome to Community Focus. I'm Steve Lindell, Vice President, Director of Operations for Woof Boom Radio Group. Six formats, 10 stations. One mission, we use our voice to build your community. Today, we bring you the third and final section of an interview that I got to do with Al Rent, winner of the Sagamore of the Wabash and the Legacy Award from Muncie, Delaware County Chamber of Commerce. Several weeks ago, I started the question with something that was news to me. I did not know that you were involved in the founding time of IPR and
yes.
WIPB television. I didn't know. What was your part in that, and what had to be done to get those two individual efforts going way back when?
Well, Indiana Public Radio began just as a 10-watt FM radio station at Ball State,
mm-hmm.
and it went on the air literally in 1959, but went off the air, moved to a new place on campus, more permanent. It was in an old World War II barracks that were temporary structures on campus in those days. And when it went back on the air in 1962, there were a group of about six or eight students. I was one who signed the station back on. We literally, Steve, physically carried the transmitter from the basement of this building up three flights of stairs because it was really no bigger than a bread box. And plugged it in. And the engineers made sure everything was working. And the first day on the air, John Emmons was the president of the university.
Like Emmons Auditorium.
Like Emmons Auditorium.
Emmons, yeah.
John Emmons was the first voice on the air was the head of the department, Bill Tomlinson, then introduced President Emmons, and then introduced me.
You were the third person on the air.
I was the third person on the air. So, you know, you think back, somebody's got to start something somewhere.
Right.
And I happened to be at the right place at the right time. So we literally put WBST, a flamethrower of a radio signal, 10 watts.
10 watts of 10 power.
Watts. Yes, you had to be south of McGalliard
in order to get a crack
or north
a little
of Jackson to hear it, you know. It was about that big. So, yes, that's what happened, and then it evolved into Indiana Public Radio, which is a conglomeration of not only WBST, which we call the mothership, but four other radio frequencies or repeaters that are in various portions of the state that take public radio, classical music, news, and information into areas that cannot get it. And so it works out very well. That's IPR. WIPB was WLBC Television, Channel 49. It signed off as WLBC-TV in 1971, and five of us signed the original papers of incorporation, and I was one of them. So we then transferred the license to Ball State University, and hence WIPB Channel 49 is public television, not commercial television, and has been on the air since 71. And luckily, right place, right time.
Other than your present job at Ball State, what would you pick as your favorite job of all the jobs and different derivations of jobs that you've had through the years? Got to pick one.
Oh, gosh.
You can't pick your current one. See, I took that off the table so that anybody you go back to the office to, can't say, why did you say this place? You can't say that.
No, you know, I started an ad. I started a PR agency. I started an ad agency. I mean, I talked my way into a lot of different jobs. And in fact, the one thing you never, ever wanted to say to me was, you know, you really can't do that.
Because then you'll just figure it out.
Well,
and
we'll figure it out. So I started an ad agency, kind of an ad and public relations agency in 1980. I had a ball, absolute ball. But there was a period of time where in 1987, when four of us bought this radio station, that I was running the ad agency, a vice president, and doing morning drive and part of the management of this radio station. And then in 1993, went to work for Ball State in public relations. So I had three jobs simultaneously. That was the period of time where I had the most fun. I lost the most sleep, and I took the most antibiotics to correct all the infections that I was having. So anyway, and hence Steve Lindell.
you needed someone to help.
I was sick emotionally and physically.
You at the Legacy event. You had some great stories, and we can't cover all of them with all the great speakers that night, but Kathy had some wonderful stories about the times with you and her and Mr. Maury Manny's. You were kind of the miniature referee between two of them to some degree.
Yes. They got along great, but they sparred all the time.
And that was good radio.
It was great radio. You know, you want that sort of that good-natured tension that goes along, because the audience can smile and be part of the joke or the humor as opposed to uncomfortable with it. And Kathy, who was hugely creative, decided that we should do a bit called Kathnack the Magnificent, which is really born after Johnny Carson's. Yes.
I'm doing it.
Karnak the Magnificent.
Sure.
Right. So the deal was you put the question in an envelope and you seal it up.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes into the studio and divines the answer
mm-hmm.
and then reads the question.
Yes.
And the one that I always remember, and I used it that night, was she came in, and Maury is there at the table, and I played the Swami music, and Kathy, what is the answer to the question? And the answer is Juan Valdez, Maury Manny's, Juan Valdez, Sugar Pill, Maury Manny's.
Say those again now.
Juan Valdez, Sugar Pill, Maury Manny's.
Uh-huh.
And when she opens the envelope, she says, name an amigo, a placebo, and an ego. And let me tell you, our phone lines lit up.
How did Maury do with that?
Maury said, first thing out of the gate,
I didn't think that was very funny. Al, it's been a joy.
Thank you so much, Steve.
The interview and knowing you. But before I sign off here, I have a presentation for you.
Oh.
This is not a Sagamore Wabash.
It's just a second Sagamore.
But it's pretty darn close.
Those
many years ago in this very room.
Yeah.
When I walked in for the first time 23 years ago, it was a sit-down studio
right
down here,
Yeah, right.
You'd sit in this chair.
Right.
Control board was here.
Right.
Buttons were here. Yeah. Sometimes the phone worked with Chuck Loft.
And sometimes it did.
Okay.
All the time.
The reel-to-reel machines were over on the other side.
Yeah.
You had buttons here. You could push a button.
Carts, big carts.
Oh, huge.
Big CDs.
And you were the one that kept it all organized, and you wanted it to be clean and nice for everybody, too.
Yeah, right, yeah.
As I recall, the first thing that you did every day was what?
Well, make the coffee.
And then what?
And then dust.
My presentation to you.
Oh, no.
Is what we have now deemed.
Oh, my goodness.
The Al Rent Memorial Feather Duster. This is yours. It has lived in that back corner since you didn't do the morning show here, okay?
Yeah.
And I have used it several hundred times in your honor.
I present
this to you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
As, well, your latest Sagamore of the Wabash level. Oh, I need a picture of that. hold on a second. You're blocking the light,
I'm sorry.
I'm taking a photograph right now. This is going to be great. Oh, you know, I'd like to see this at your house, the award room.
Yes.
Next
absolutely.
To the Sagamore of the Wabash.
The
Can
shrine.
You do a selfie in front of
yeah,
in the shrine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll take. People need to see this feather duster.
They will.
Because, you know, quite honestly, Steve,
it's
been long enough. I couldn't swear that this is the feather duster.
Oh, no, it is.
The end of that is something is coming back to me that this is the one I really did use.
Oh, it clearly
is.
I would not. Well, first of all, where where would I have purchased that?
Some turkey gave up their life just so we could dust the studio.
Al, I have the good fortune of knowing and being able to tell people that I have run into some really interesting, fascinating, powerful, intelligent, community building and changing kind of people in the line of work that I've done, not just here, but before here too. I'm honored to know you, and I'm honored to have worked for you and with you and around you. You are Mr. Muncie and beyond. You're way better than Andy will ever be, by the way. Can I just stab that?
Yeah. You know, the irony of the whole thing is he still does morning drive in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, that's because they can't find anybody
else.
Well,
that's it. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing me to Muncie.
You're quite welcome, Steve. We're honored to have you here. You've done an amazing job. And in such a transient business, the fact that you have chosen to stay in Muncie and make your home here and make your family here, and you and Nancy are doing so much for this community, we're honored to know you and to have you a part.
You're very kind. Jay Allen Rent, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir.